You're listening to The Big Cutch, a weekly podcast by Phil Evans and Rob Lloyd. Now available for download from SoundCloud. You can find out more about this podcast on www.philevans.co.uk and www.rlloydpr.co.uk.
So, Phil Evans. Now then, let me tell you a joke. An Englishman, a Welshman, a Scotsman and an Irishman walk into a pub and the barman says, "Is this some sort of joke?"
Hey, this is a good start.
Yeah?
Especially considering this is the first and our first attempt at making a podcast. And we've got to start somewhere, haven't we?
Well, that's what I thought. And I thought I'd start with the jokes rather than, you know, put the pressure on you because you don't like that sort of pressure.
No, it's very kind of you. And considering we've just turned up with a blank sheet or a blank canvas, as it were, and this was your idea. I don't know, you must have woke up one morning and had an idea. Hang on, let's get Phil Evans on board and let's do a podcast.
Indeed, I had a brainwave, basically, and I thought, what better character could we find to do a podcast than Phil Evans?
It was probably you couldn't get hold of anybody else.
That was true as well.
Because I have been told I'm the cheapest in my range.
Yeah, indeed. You're the market leader in that department. And so you've never done a podcast before?
I haven't. There's been recordings before, but not a podcast. Having said that, over the last perhaps 2 years, I've listened to quite a few podcasts and there are hundreds out there. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice if I started one? And all of a sudden, you pick up the phone and say, "We're going to do a podcast." And here we are tonight on a Sunday evening.
Indeed.
Towards the tail end of January. Here we are coming up with ideas to make it interesting. Hopefully life-changing maybe for many. Hopefully not for me. And you never know. You might be able to pick up a nice little following.
Well, yeah. That's the trick, is to get a few listeners, I suppose. And so we'll try this for a few weeks now, and hopefully we pick up a few listeners along the way, I think. And so we'll give it a whirl.
It makes me think now, who are going to be our demographic, really? Where are we going to get these listeners from?
Well, I haven't done a lot of market research on this, so I'm just winging it, basically. So this is very freestyle.
It's very much like my act, really, isn't it? Yeah. It's been for the last sort of 20 years. Yeah. Winging it and freestyle.
So you say, so your podcast first time around, but I say you've been listening, you've been picking up tips, have you?
I think it's the way forward.
Yeah.
I think everybody out there in radio land, TV land, or media land, they do develop a following as time goes by. And the game plan here really is if we could have maybe 20,000 would be unrealistic, really, wouldn't it?
Are there 20,000 people that know us?
No, but it depends what material you can come up with. And I don't know your background is media and publicity. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if you've got any stunts or anything lined up your sleeve.
I have got a few little tricks up my sleeve, but I'll tell you more about that in a minute. The only rule I was going to say about this is that I've run this, doing this podcast, and I drafted out what we might talk about, but I haven't really. I've just got all in my head. But what I've said is that no topic should last more than 5 minutes. So if it lasts 5 minutes, then a little timer is going to go off, and then we've got to switch topic. So is that okay with you?
Yeah, let's go for it. Anything can happen. Do you know what's the rule book now? The Rob Lloyd rule book has just gone out the window, because you've always said, write it all down and prepare.
Yeah.
And you've just come in here now and you've said you've written nothing down and it's all in your head.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't I be worried at this point?
I don't think so. They say preparation is everything, but I suppose preparation for a man of my age is usually preparation H, which we use for something else, but but the least said about that is the better.
Well, you're sitting comfortably.
Yeah, I'm sitting comfortably.
So shall we begin?
So we probably will begin. So we've actually done well. We haven't even come to the 5 minute barrier, and we're going to change topic very quickly now. So you've been following the news, haven't you?
Well, having had to write for 3 local papers each and every week, I'd be a fool not to follow the news, because this is what sparks off content and subject matter with you to trying to make it interesting to the demographic.
I mean, what do you make of all this? This President's Club. What do you make of all that, then?
That's an interesting one. And I started following the debate on Radio Wales on, I think it was Thursday, Friday last week, and there were some characters phoning in. And I don't think any of this is new. It's shocking, it's disgusting, and we shouldn't have it in this day and age, especially men, businessmen behaving the way it's been reported. But I remember not that long ago actually being booked to do an event not a million miles from here. And when I turned up, I was booked to address a ladies' darts team.
It wasn't the Merched y Wawr.
It wasn't the Merched y Wawr. And I thought, taking into account the location, which is a lovely little fishing village not a million miles from Carmarthen, that I would have a really sedate, well-tamed, well-behaved audience. And I didn't know when I took the booking that it was going to be a ladies' darts team. But anyway...
It's an all-ladies' affair rather than an all-gents' affair.
Absolutely.
Like
it was an all-ladies' affair. And I've never... I wasn't aware of the fact that there would have been, or there was a ladies' darts team in the area. I knew men used to play darts, but coming from a little mining community in Ammanford, I'd never come across a ladies' darts team. But I've been told since there are many of them there. So I turned up, I set up, and off we went. Now, the reason I got this gig was because I'd done the venue 3-4 months previously to a mixed audience. And I did very, very well. And they said, we'll have you back. And in all fairness, they kept to their word. They had me back. But what I had was a ladies' darts team. 10, 15 minutes into my routine, I am doing well. I've lifted the roof of the place. I am steaming, doing well. But these ladies now, it was an annual event. They'd had a few awards and they were well oiled. It was as if they'd never been let out on their own without the men before. They were in one hell of a state. And one, because I came off the stage and I went to mingle amongst the tables, as I do.
Dangerous.
I like to get amongst the audience and draw them in. And one lady, looking at her now, but they wouldn't melt in her mouth. But at this particular moment, when I approached the table, she leaned forward and put her hands between my legs and grabbed hold of my testicles and squeezed tightly. At that point in time, I thought, please God, let me have the improvisation skills to make this funny. But looking back on it, I was abused. I was sexually abused.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't go to the papers. It wasn't recorded. And when I listened to this debate about the President's Club last week on radio and in all the papers now as well, I think to myself, well, hang on, I can appreciate what went on there. I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong, but I've been in that position. And nobody paid me for the story. Now, do you think there's any mileage in this, Rob, that we can actually dig this up? Now, I wouldn't recognise this woman in the lineup. I can't even remember the person that booked me. I got paid. The night finished off well, but I was sexually abused there on stage with about 150 witnesses.
And you didn't report it to the police?
I didn't.
No.
I didn't know whether it was a good thing or a bad thing. I just thought it went to the territory.
But she had her hands on your family allowance.
Absolutely, and she squeezed them tight as well. She had nearly every penny out of it.
So you didn't segue into an Ali Jones solo or anything like that?
No.
No.
No, but I can't remember exactly what I said or what I did after that, but I maintained contact with the audience and I managed to finished the show all right without any too much change of tone. I didn't go into falsetto or anything like this in any way, shape or form. But having...
You maintained your dignity.
Yes.
There's that line from Singing in the Rain, dignity, always dignity. And
when we do the book, I'm sure we can come up with a chapter based on this little village down in West Wales and that particular moment.
So all our listeners now will be thinking, or one of them, they will be thinking, where is this particular village in West Wales? We won't tell them.
I'd love to say, but you've told me that I can't mention anybody, any place.
I think we have to bear in mind my legal experience and been taught newspaper law and media law and all that. We better steer clear of it, I think. But
I didn't know you mentioned Merched y Wawr earlier. This darts team resembled the people that would go to Merched y Wawr, honestly.
But a bit of an experience then, Phil.
It was, and having said that, I didn't lose any sleep over it.
Yeah.
I just thought it went with the territory.
Yeah.
And it
see, didn't... That's my alarm now. See, that means that our 5 minute, that's my 5 minute warning.
Do you know, I'm going to need counselling after this.
So.
And you can't control the alarm, can you?
I can't control it now, but it's off now. But
Do you know, I live with a therapist, and I'm going to need therapy, because I just realised now, when that alarm went off, it reminded me of getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and nobody likes to get up at 6 o'clock, no. Especially on a Monday morning. And that noise, it took me back to that time in the morning where I don't really want to get out of bed.
Yeah. So we change topic now, because that's the 5-minute rule on this particular show. You write a column for the Evening Post and Carmarthen Journal and the Llanelli Star. And you do it every week. Well, where do you get the ideas from then?
It's people say that I must be very, very clever and creative. And I got to come clean here. It's hard, flipping work, really. I walk around with a notebook in my pocket and I'm constantly looking around trying to come up with ideas. And quite often, just before I go to sleep at night, a line, an idea will pop into my head, and I've got to sit bolt upright in bed. I'm hell to live with. I sit bolt upright in bed and write it down, because I know from past experience, you wake up the following morning, what was that good idea now? It's gone. And as a result of this, everywhere I go, the notebook is there. I'm sure I'm known as that comic who walks around with a notebook in his hand constantly, because things are going, and quite often my handwriting is so untidy, I fail to read what I wrote.
You can't read it back.
No, I get this. It's very, 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 very challenging. But having said that, I've seen you do shorthand.
Yeah, well, I say I do shorthand, and 120 words per minute I got in my shorthand exam, and I can scribble shorthand, and of course nobody understands it by me. And but the trick is to actually read it back fairly soon after the event, because if you don't get the context right, then you're totally lost. And so if you're sitting in court doing a court report, you've got to get it out of the notebook as quickly as you can in order for it to be accurate. Yeah.
So are you as bad as me then, writing?
Oh, I'm terrible. I've got doctor's handwriting, and I got a real scrawl, because very often I'll write in hybrid shorthand and a bit of a doctor's scrawl as well. But
you just asked me now where I get all these ideas from in order to write for these papers each and every week, to come up with something fresh, original, creative, and hopefully colourful. And some weeks we get it right, and other weeks we hit the nerve.
What was last week's about then? Can you remember?
What did we write about last? Oh, there's an interesting one last week. One that was very, very close to home and close to my heart. Two lovely young ladies locally, Emma Melrose and Shireen Gears, raising money for Make-A-Wish. And they're raising money for Make-A-Wish in order, and then they will be moving forward to do the London Marathon later on this year. And they've done a series of events locally, and they're training nearly every day to do this amazing event for a wonderful cause. So I thought to myself, well, being I know these young ladies and it's something that's happening locally, I thought, well, okay, I won't put any jokes in to ridicule the occasion, because we do have local heroes here, and I thought they were worth a mention. So that took up 200 words. Mm-hmm. And the other item then was probably something that annoyed me. So I'm turning into a Victor Meldrew, really, of Armanford.
In your young age?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say young anymore. Yeah. But I like to think now I've got a voice, and things that I used to keep under my hat previously, I've got a platform now to air my views. And on occasion, people write in and agree. And there are one or two occasions as well where people write in to the paper.
So you do get feedback from people. And
And 80% of the feedback is positive. And 20% I do ruffle feathers, but then, you know, we are blessed really in this country to have freedom of speech. Having said that, the editor has come back to me one or two times and said, "Well, you can't say that, Phil. Can you tone it down?" We live and learn, I suppose. But you, Rob, did this for many, many years.
Yeah.
So again, where do the ideas come from?
Well, that's it. I mean, you've got to be constantly thinking of them, really. And as you say, a notebook is a good idea, because you can put those notes. I mean, I use the dictaphone now. I just simply record my thoughts onto the phone and just review them at the end of the day, basically. So if I see something out there, then that's what I do. I get the phone out to make a quick note to myself, a little aid memoir.
But do you suffer from writer's block? It's a term that's constantly used.
See, there we are. That's another 5-minute warning. So But the answer to that is, no, I don't get writer's block. You've just got to sit down and do it. So, but we move quickly on to change topic. I can see the look of horror on your face. Just as you're getting into something, 5 minutes comes and goes.
Interesting, isn't it?
And you've got to change topic. You're a busy guy. What was the last gig you did as a comedian?
We did a 50th birthday party, private function, last week. And prior to that was, I've had a couple of weeks off after Christmas and the New Year, but the build-up to Christmas was reasonably demanding, but not as demanding these days as it was many, many years ago, because the scene, the club scene, the comedy scene has all changed. But just before Christmas, I spent some time out in Dublin doing corporate events, and that's the story in itself. But now, January, we're gearing up to, it's quite a few corporate events in the diary. One or two conferences I'm involved with, or will be involved with hosting. And of course, I'm pulling together another Phil Evans and Friends show, which is available for hire, and will be probably touring two or three theatres at some point this year, and one, maybe two comedy festivals. And that in itself is a variety show with comedians, all original. One or two maybe outside of Wales, but the majority of the guys on the bill with us. It's like a Michael McIntyre road show, or the Live at the Apollo road show, but with more acts.
With more acts going on, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there still a demand for comics than at working men's clubs and stuff like that? You know, does that still happen?
Well, what we found in the last perhaps 18 months, 2 years, the working men's clubs aren't putting on their own acts.
They normally get an act on before the bingo, don't they?
But of course, even that is dying off to an extent. Now they've got these big halls, but don't get used. So the venues have been hired out for private functions. And we've seen the turn, or the tipping point. And there's an interesting one towards the tail end of, I think it was last year, where McDonald's, other fast food chains are available. McDonald's approached me to do a charity event for their Ronald McDonald charity. And they were toying with the idea of getting a theatre or a big hall locally within the area. And the guys, or the young lady behind it, had risen a lot of money for this cause.
Is this the lady from Cross Hands?
Indeed, yes. Yeah. Kaylee Phillips. And lovely character. And fantastic organisation skills. She really does have the ability to get things done, and she's got a reasonable following, and the heart's in the right place. But I don't know why she takes on these challenges. But we ended up doing the show, and I think there were six or seven acts. They had a good lineup, original lineup, and every act was different, a different style. And we took over the Tumble Working Men's Club, which was nothing like the working men's clubs that we had learned our trade in over the years. And so I think that particular night, the club did better than it's done in the last few years.
Yeah.
But they hired the room out, and it was a private function in essence, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they did raise a lot of money. So I can see, because when you start putting an event like this on in a theatre, they have to make money.
Yeah, but I think you get a better response than you if you're doing something for charity. And I see foreigners sometimes, you know, you get more people in there if people know that it's aimed at raising money for a particular charity.
Yes, indeed. But the downside we're finding is that you've still got to pay a lot of money for the venue, and the technology attached to it. You know, because you need technology to run an event today. And of course, if you can't get enough people in to buy tickets, you know, for the event, there's very, very little money left over for the charity.
I mean, you have to be careful how you underwrite it and so on.
It's a difficult one. And quite often, because you've believed in the cause.
And look at that. That's another five.
That's amazing.
That's another 5 minutes gone.
Okay. We're going to have to change that ringtone, you know.
I know.
Because it takes me back instantly to the Monday morning feeling.
Yeah. We're talking about Monday morning, so it's not just, you know, gigging, is it? You're a busy professional guy as well. Your week ahead is fairly busy, I guess. And I guess you're also involved in business networking.
Business networking, I think, is key, and it's a passion. It's a passion of mine, really. And I suppose it all stems back to relationships. I don't think anything happens in life today unless we have relationships. And we surround ourselves with the right people. And my work throughout the week, my diary is very, very tight. I, as you know, very, very little spare time, really, between meetings, prepping, networking, and writing.
Yeah. So what you mentioned, I think, before we started about this BNI network. What's that about then?
Well, BNI in itself is a Business Network International franchise, which started off in Canada 32, 33 years ago. And it's come over the pond, and there are probably at least one chapter in every town throughout the land.
Yeah.
Really, there's probably two in Swansea, one towards Neath Port Talbot, two or three in Cardiff, but there's one here in Llanelli, which I'm very, very fond of, and I have some good friends, and it's a local.
You still have friends, even though you're a comedian as well.
Yeah, only a few, because there's you can count on one, nearly one hand actually.
Nearly one hand.
Indeed, yeah, and many acquaintances then. But this one in Llanelli has been going probably 12, 13 years, and you, Rob, have been involved, given your time over the years and helping promote this chapter through local TV, radio and press, really. And it's a group of local businessmen that do well, support each other, accountable, trustworthy businessmen.
And they meet on the morning, don't they?
Thursday morning at the Diplomat Hotel.
And what time?
The ungodly hour of 6:45. Mind you, some of us get there at 6.
Yeah. Are you a morning person then?
I'm not really. I'm more of a night owl. And you can understand why. Travelling up and down the country, and by the time you get home at 2 or 3 in the morning, you have trouble getting to sleep. So mornings are a bit of an issue quite often. So Thursday morning is very difficult. Without shadow of a doubt, is a challenge. But as the years go on, you get used to it, you get conditioned. The alarm goes off, and you think, well, you might as well bite the bullet and get on with it. And this particular group in Llanelli, characters, they do a lot of good within the community. In fact, I hosted an event for them in December.
That's what I was thinking of that. They put some money back into the community, didn't
Absolutely.
They?
Absolutely. Yeah. And what was fascinating this year was there were quite a few members within the group that received awards for their contribution to the group and businesses locally. But a young lady, when I say young lady, middle-aged lady from Tumble, who ran a florist business, she received £1,000 and an award from the group for what she does within the community. What she does within the community is something I've never come across before, and I felt quite moving. Here we have a florist that deals with people at probably the worst time of their lives, and if there was a family that suffered the loss of a young child and they were finding it hard to make a living, to hold the family together, let alone pay for a funeral, they gave their services totally free and gave flowers, which went against the grain, really, to local other florists within the community and undertakers.
So, yeah, but it's a generous thing to do at a time when people can't really think about things like that, can they?
Absolutely. Yeah. And although we had quite a few worthy people came forward that were eligible for the award. The group, this BNI group, in Llanelli thought that this young lady with this wonderful business was going to benefit.
See, bang on time. Bang on time. I mean, that's incredible.
We're going to come up with something a lot funnier, a bit more ridiculous than that. Well, noise.
Yeah, I do have plans when we develop this idea.
I love plans.
I notice you've got a notebook in front of you. I don't have a notebook. I don't have that benefit. But what else has been sort of triggering your brain this week?
Litter. I live in a lovely little town, not a million miles from here, called Ammanford, and I'm blessed with a big recreation ground at the back of my house, and I walk the dog around this field, and it's absolutely amazing. It's got 4 or 5 football fields, 2 rugby fields, and a cricket pitch. And it's wonderful to see the youngsters playing and training there 2 or 3 times a week. And yet when they bring in friends and families to support the young kids playing, when they go afterwards, it's like a tip.
They just leave everything.
Having said that, they've only got one bin at the end of the field, really. But they don't take their rubbish home. Why have we become a society where we want to dump our junk and our rubbish everywhere?
I was travelling back from Carmarthen today, and the car in front, they just wound on the window, and there was a big bag of McDonald's stuff that just went out.
Oh, that's going to finish off my item this week.
I know. You know, it really is. It's so annoying. I mean, you know, apart from the fact he was doing 40 miles an hour, so I could hardly stop him and remonstrate with him. But you do feel like, you know, picking the bag up and following him to the next car park and pushing it back through into the car.
Where's this all come from?
I don't know. It's sloppy, isn't it? And there's no... Where's the pride, yeah?
I did go one step too far, nearly one step too far, about 2 years ago in Tower Business Park.
In Swansea.
In Swansea, when I'm walking to one of the big shops there, and there was a gentleman in front, well, I say gentleman loosely, threw a cigarette on the floor and kept walking. And I could feel the veins in my neck bulging. So I walked forward now, and I'm in comedic mode. I'm thinking to myself, now, how would I deal with this if this happened in a gig? So I reached down, I picked up the cigarette very, very gingerly and walked past him and dropped it into his pocket. And just kept walking.
It wasn't a light, was it?
It was a light. Because he dropped the cigarette and didn't put his foot on it. He just
left
threw the butt on the floor.
No, it's sloppy,
so I just went 2 steps quicker than him and just dropped it in his pocket.
I'm sure you've got plenty of other subjects you can talk about, but one of which we will come to, this podcast is actually going to be called, it is called, The Big Kutch. But I know listeners will want to know why you're so adamant that Kutch should be spelled SH rather than CH. But we're going to save that for another day, I think, Phil. And
yes.
We'll come back because it's worthy of a topic all on its own.
We could do 20 minutes. Isn't that easy?
Yeah. But I think for now, that's us done. And I'm sure if this is a success, we'll be back next week.
God, do you think we'll have more followers and perhaps sponsors? I think we could make the big...
Well,
could we take this to Vegas, Rob?
Mrs. Lloyd is going to be one of the first followers, so got to be.
She's wonderful, isn't she?
There we are. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Interested in advertising and sponsoring this podcast? Then please get in touch. We have podcasting advertising spots available at reasonable rates. Just ring Robert Lloyd on 07 77 683 637 or email rlloydpr@btinternet.com. Thank you for listening to The Big Kutch, a weekly podcast by Phil Evans and Robert Lloyd, now available for download from SoundCloud. You can find out more about this podcast on www.philevans.co.uk and www.rlloydpr.co.uk.
This has been a Plantbach production. Music was provided by Boyce a Garage and Cord Mybion Llethi Male Voice Choir. This podcast was edited by Robert Lloyd.
You're listening to The Big Cutch, a weekly podcast by Phil Evans and Robert Lloyd. Coming up in future episodes, Episode 2, Have You Fallen Out of Love with St. Valentine's Day? Episode 3, Find Out More About Comedian Phil Evans. Episode 4, Find Out More About Media Consultant, Journalist, Broadcaster and Social Media Ninja Robert Lloyd. Episode 5, Why Kutch Should Always Be Spelt with SH and Not CH.